Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Good morning. This is Jillian Morrissey in place of Mike Malevsky this morning, taking place for him, but I'm the Public Information Officer for the Mat-Su Borough School District, and it's my pleasure to have in the studio today Crystal Smith from Pupil Transportation.
Hello, thanks Jillian for having me.
It's great having you here. So today we want to talk about a very little known department that we have at the school district, Pupil Transportation, and what it is exactly that they do. So Crystal, I was hoping you could give us an overview of what Pupil Transportation does.
Sure. So when parents typically call into the department, this is how we explain it, is that we route it and the contractors drive it, which means that our department, we're primarily responsible for the routing, planning, bus stops, schedule, timing, that sort of thing. Whereas the contractors, and we have three different ones across the valley, they have the buses and the drivers. So they're actually the ones that are driving the routes that we're planning.
Oh, that's really interesting. So how do you separate those boundaries of where the contractors work?
So when they go out to the bid process, they have a contract. It pretty much lines out where they stop. Glacier View, which is our far outlying over towards Glacier View School, they do that area solely. First Student is primarily the contractor that most individuals here in the core area would interact with. They pretty much have that responsibility from Chickaloon all the way up to Willow Fish Hook. And then Bunker and Bunker is our contractor that's to the north of that, that services the schools from Willow up to Trapper Creek.
Oh, that's really interesting. So what are some of the numbers that we have for ridership here in the school district?
So of course those numbers fluctuate depending on the year and the time of the year, but currently we have approximately, it's just shy of 17,000 students who are eligible to ride transportation. Doesn't mean all of them take advantage of that transportation. Our ridership typically on a daily basis can be anywhere from 8,000 to 9,000 students.
Huh. So considering we have big distances in the school district, I mean, our school district is the size of West Virginia. I don't think people sometimes realize how huge of an area that we try to service all these students. So that's interesting. I thought the numbers would be higher. Are there barriers to people for transportation, or why is the number down at 8,000, 9,000?
Speculating. Uh-huh. I think part of that is the high schools, of course, they have students that are driving themselves to and from high school, much like myself when I was 16. But we also have, you know, whether they're in sports or parents, maybe it might be more convenient for parents to drop off students to school on their way to work. Commuters, that sort of thing. We do have two different programs that we schedule for. That's the regular education program, and then there's also the special education program.
Huh, yeah, tell me more about that. That's fascinating.
So the special education program, we actually have a dedicated router whose primary responsibility is to making sure that those students are accurately routed. It's an ever-changing population, so whether it's where the location that they're getting dropped off, picked up, that seems to change quite a bit. And so our router, he is in charge of that. And then we plan it, and then we are able to communicate it then to the contractor, who then passes that along to the drivers as well.
I want to talk a little bit more about the special education transportation. Every student is different for that is going to get transportation from us in order to get to school. How does that work? How does that router decide what service that student may need, if it's wheelchair lifts, or how does that all work with the families to get that student to school?
Sure. So special education, typically you have an IEP, and that's a team plan. That's, you have administrators, you have teachers, you have parents or guardians, you have school officials. They're all part of that team decision and that process. Mm-hmm. And so when they come together and they review that student's IEP, they make sure that whether it's a vest or a wheelchair, any sort of special accommodations that they might need on the bus, they review that at that time and in that meeting, and then they communicate that to the router, who's then able to put that into effect on the bus.
Wow. That's a whole team of people to make sure that student has an opportunity to get to school. That's really fascinating. I'm interested in, so we have a lot of dark in Alaska, and it's we're getting into that time. I bring my son to, he picks up a bus in the morning, and it keeps getting darker and darker. So I'm really interested in just how, when you're evaluating stops and looking at where you're going to pick up students, how you do all of that, and maybe just some of the tips or things you've learned over the time of working this job that help students be successful of getting on and off the bus every day.
Sure. As far as bus stop locations go, there are state standards that we do have to meet when assigning a bus stop. So we go out, we actually evaluate every single stop that's requested, submitted to us, and then we have to make sure that they meet state parameters. Some of those are a certain number of students, especially if it's a route extension or it goes beyond past what a route is already doing. There are some minimums that are required for student counts, but we're also looking at the safety of the location. And typically in neighborhoods, an area where there's a street light, a mailbox, somewhere that's off to the side, well lit, for a majority of the students there in that area, it's going to be somewhere more desirable than, for example, a driveway stop within a neighborhood. That's not to say that we don't have roads that aren't very well lit or that don't have shoulders. And so sometimes a driveway stop would be safer in that instance. But if there were tips that I could give parents and guardians, one would be to make sure that your student is seen. And, you know, when I was in school, we had reflective whatnots that we could attach to our backpacks or to our coats. And I definitely, there's got to be cooler stuff out there than that, whether it be headlamps or cell phones, reflective tape, something that can help drivers see the students. Because particularly right now, we're in fall, we're starting to lose daylight. And without that white snow cover, it's really hard to actually see sometimes students standing along the roadway or in a driveway. And so even light clothes can help make them visible. The other safety tip that I would definitely give those out there is to dress warmly. And I know that's a challenge with sometimes teenagers.
I fight with mine every morning.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
The reality is that buses can break down or they can be stuck behind. Maybe there was a situation in the roadway where the bus is stuck behind there. And so you don't want to be cold. You want to make sure that you have your coat and your gloves and your mittens and your hat. And I know that that's a lot of stuff that you're carrying, but it really is important to make sure that you are equipped with those things.
It's always a good reminder. I mean, as parents, we always try to make sure that we do the right thing. And I mean, once we let them on the bus, I guess they do. But we can make sure it's in the bag at least. So they have it.
Absolutely.
If needed. I know that there are, on buses, there's some rules and safety rules and other things. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, because sometimes I don't think parents know that there's quite a system for once that student is on a bus. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Basically, the bus is an extension of the classroom. It's not a classroom, but the rules that are similar to a classroom should be on a bus, such as making sure that you are sitting down, not throwing anything, no yelling, no screaming. All of those are rules that the bus driver has. In most buses, the rules are in pretty bold print up somewhere in the front of the vehicle so they can see them. They're pretty standard classroom rules on the bus. And even really more so because you think there's no classroom that's on wheels. The bus is on wheels. And the driver is also having to pay attention to traffic flow and things like that. So it's important for parents to just enforce those rules with their students that are also applicable on board the bus. Now, if a student, for example, breaks a rule, typically the policy is the bus driver will issue a bus conduct report. And they will fill that out and give it to the administrator of that school. They also might call home and just let the parents know, hey, just so you know that this is happening. And they would really appreciate parent support and just trying to enforce those rules as well. But if it gets to the point where the student, you know, has repeat offenses or that they're brought into the administrators of that school, and then those rules are gone over with them.
I think that is so great. I mean, I just remember from my time growing up. It was a little bit unruly on school buses. And so I really appreciate that there is this code of ethics and etiquette on the buses nowadays. I think it helps the classroom teachers. It seems like that extension, that school bus riding has become an extension of the classroom, just helps everybody set the tone for the students for the day and make sure that students understand what's safe and keeping everyone in, making sure everyone's safe and getting to school on time and in a good place.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we actually encourage administrators. We've even in the last year and a half, we've had administrators ride school buses just, mm-hmm. you know, just so the students can see them out there and they're actively participating in their ability to be calm and you know, ride safely on a bus. And we really support that and encourage that, as the drivers also appreciate that backup from the school as well.
Tell me anything more about, it seems like it would be wonderful if more kids rode buses. Is that true? Is that, if we just had more ridership on the buses, would that be good for the school district?
I think you'd be looking at adding a few routes, so which is possible. I think
so. We're at capacity then for our buses, right?
There are a few routes. I would say there's definitely more ridership in certain areas than in others, mm-hmm. and the other areas typically are the ones that are super close to school.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm not sure if you'll be able to convince students to ride the bus if they can walk to school or, you know, have somebody drop them off. But absolutely, anybody who wants to ride a bus stop or wants to ride a bus and doesn't know where their stop or time is, they're absolutely welcome to call either ourselves at the district transportation department or the schools, and they can give you a good stop time and location.
How do families contact People Transportation?
There's a couple of different ways. One is that we do have online lookup tools that parents can use. And typically they'll need their family ID number, which is different than their student ID number. If you're unfamiliar with what that is, you're welcome to, again, call the school or us in the transportation office. And we actually have this really cool app. It's called Where's My Bus? And you can use that family ID. And if you have several different students, it'll show you all your students.
Oh, wow.
You can click on the student, and then it'll tell you the GPS on that bus. It won't tell you exactly, but it'll tell you where the bus is. So if the bus is running a few minutes late or if it's really close to you, you can go on your app and look it up. Those links are on the district's website under transportation or parents. Now that there's a new format to our website there. So if you go under parent tools, transportation, and there's a couple of the different lookup tools there.
And for any folks that don't know the Matsubara School District's website, it's www.matsuk12.us. And the spot that Crystal's talking about, there are icons on the right and for parents so they can find those things. I wanted to just ask you quickly about the app. Is it in real time? Are you following that bus as it's going from stop to stop so that it's pretty accurate?
It is in real time. I will be really honest with you. There are some dead zones of the valley where there could be a little bit of a lag. We've seen up to 6 minutes. That's rare, and that's only in certain areas. I'm not sure if they're just not receiving signal or what the case is.
Sure.
But the only other thing that it may not work, a route is assigned a specific bus. And if that GPS on that bus for the day is not assigned to it, then it may not work for that day. For example, if a bus driver comes in, a bus has a flat tire, they assign a standby to that bus, that particular day it may not work because their assigned bus is down while it's getting its tire changed. So it's a little bit, there's a little bit of grace factor in there, but for the most part, it's pretty accurate.
What if somebody didn't have mobile connectivity? What would be another way to find out if your student's late or something's going on and just the normal routine isn't happening that day?
So one of our normal routines of the day is when the transportation department, when we come in, which is typically we have somebody there for sure at 6:30 a.m. It's a little bit earlier if it's snowing or there's inclement weather outside. If there's going to be a late bus, we notify parents through our mass communication application, and that's something that they would have to elect into. So if they haven't signed up for that service, they can. And we can either send text messages just because that's quick and easy. And
kind of what people like nowadays,
yeah,
too. Yep.
It's fast. So there's that option. If you are in an area that maybe doesn't have cell service or you don't have a smartphone, Absolutely. You can call into the bus barn, and they actually have the radios that can contact the bus drivers and just verify where they are. I would say use that sparingly, because if 16,000 students and or parents or guardians call into the bus barn, that could create closed lines. But if you really are concerned, or if you, you know, have reason to believe that they're running late, you can absolutely call First Student is the contractor here in the core area in that bus barn. And those numbers are also posted on our website under the transportation department.
Oh, that's great. The public information office, a lot of times when people don't know who to call, will just call me and try to find out where to route people. One of the things that I really liked is that we have that common, the common phone number now, the 761 help. Also, that is wonderful because people realize that they can get IT support, but they also can get right to transportation. And they know they have just another link to all of you over there.
Absolutely. And we can forward, you know, if a parent needs us for some reason and then they need to talk to IT, we can forward them to IT department, which is a very cool feature.
What have I missed about pupil transportation and what families and the community should know about the services you provide, or just some of the things that are helpful to make it all work every day?
Sure. We receive a lot of comments just regarding buses and people being frustrated that they're stuck behind buses, which I totally can appreciate that. You know, if I had one suggestion for anybody, any commuters out there, whether they're parents or not, it would be buses typically have a pretty strict schedule that they're sticking to within 5 minutes or so. So that bus, if you're stuck behind it every day at the same time, it's going to be every day for the same time until the end of the school year. So if you can leave your house 5-10 minutes early, it might avoid some of that frustration being behind a bus. The other thing that I just would like everybody to know is that, again, we route the buses and the contractors drive the buses. So if you have a bus, you know, you see an unsafe behavior, or if you have a question regarding a driver, that really should go through the contractors, since they are the ones that do that management of the drivers and the buses. We're happy to take that down, but then we would just forward it to the contractor for their review. But if it's anything regarding routing or planning bus stops, absolutely feel free to call the district office.
There was a really great article that was out there too about the troopers getting calls for people that are running the stop and blinky lights of school buses and just reporting every dangerous driver immediately. And I thought that was great. Just the troopers are helping support safe ridership for our students.
So. Absolutely. And we appreciate everything that law enforcement does for us on a daily basis, which is actually quite a bit. You know, since we have radios in the different schools, we can hear different things that are going on. So we appreciate all the support. I would definitely recommend, again, for riders that are, for any drivers out there, you see flashing red lights, stop. Because that means that a student is either about to or in the middle of crossing a roadway to get to a bus.
Well, that is a great reminder for all of us. Always just slow down, look for pedestrians, make sure we're taking care of our communities and making sure our kids get to school safely. So thanks, Crystal. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we sign off?
No, just I hope snow hangs off just a little bit longer. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks, Crystal.
You've been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the Mat-Su schools, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.